Blog Talk Radio.
Ilanga lishonile bafana mabuya.
Well, now, welcome, beautiful Black brothers and sisters, to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced here on Blog Talk this Tuesday evening, grand evening. Thank you for joining us. Hope you guys call in. We have a great show. Today, we also have Shabaka on the line. I'm going to let him talk in a second. This is Seduction Doll, a.k.a. Lady Che, Brandy Majors, the Only Lady on the Frontline campaign, the ultimate villain. I just calling, just tapping in right now, holding down the fort while we wait for Brother Che to make his appearance. Tonight, we're going to be discussing investments and returns, Black family. We will be discussing the investments of the raping, slave trading pedophiles during slavery in the United States and how those investments still benefit the U.S. economy to this very day. Clowns like Uncle Tim Scott, Larry Elder, and Leo Terrell, who ignore these truths, will be crumb-bummed on also. We welcome all Black scholars who can drop in-depth knowledge on this travesty. This is episode 398 of season 7. That this episode is for 18 years of age and older. We also welcome any haters. We love that. And feel free to start calling in. I'm going to welcome in Shabaka Sankore. Go ahead and take the mic, sir.
All right, okay. Thank you so very, very much, Lady Che, for an excellent introduction. Okay, it's because...
I should just open up shows.
Alrighty, so we're talking about investments and returns. Okay, as we do know, is that slave traders, okay, invested in slaves, you know, for the agricultural products, you know, cotton, let's see, what else, sugar cane, let's see, various vegetables, tobacco, and what have you. And what has happened is that when you have an investment, like you take $100, okay, you buy you a slave, okay, old broke down NGR like Shabaka, okay, teeth half gone, you know, over the age of 50. All right, and then you invest in some crops.
What would you be doing? If they purchased you right now, Shabaka, what would you be doing?
Probably leading a revolt or figuring out a way to escape. And then, you know, the problem is that these brain-dead Negroes who think that this place is not a racist country. So, therefore, you know, we welcome in the likes of Joe Gibson and what have you, Pianki, you know, all our haters right there. And then, too, ladies and gentlemen, our chat room is open, so please send all your hateful and ridiculous comments right there. We'll be more than amused to listen to read them on the air for you. Okay, so...
If it was me, Brother Che, if it was me, they'd probably make my fucking Milky Mulatto ass be a house mammy until they got tired of beating on me. You know what I mean? And I'd be leaving the back.
Okay, but regardless, though, you would still be an investment, you see?
Yep.
And the return that they got on the investment kept their farms up, kept their agricultural economy up. And then, too, what had happened was after the Civil War. Okay.
Grand evening. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Your shit is all choppy, brother.
It's going in and out.
I was holding it down for you. So you showed late.
Thank you, Lady Che.
Yeah, it sounded a little choppy, but you sounded clear right there. Then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, our introduction tonight was African Sunset by the one and only Ms. Miriam Makeba, who they refer to as Mama Africa. And to quote her, is that when the colonizers first came to Azania, okay, and the continent as a whole, they didn't think we had anything to contribute, you know, to the history of the world. Okay, so they will sit up there and say, well, you didn't exist until we discovered you, and that is ridiculous. So I'm just paraphrasing her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
I'm hyped up, man. I'm hyped up for this show. I'm so hyped up right now. I hope I might as well speak their little names into existence. Out Sarge calls, Joe Gibson need to call. Who else are we like? Bianchi need to call. Anybody else think it's, that we don't live in a racist country?
Right. Now, anybody.
Oh,
say that again, Brother Che.
Tim Duncan.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Tim Duncan. Yeah. You know, he is one piss poor ass excuse of a human being. Not only as a black man, but as a human being, okay? Now, the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, okay? You know, he's putting up his defense, you know, he's being hit with cases and things of this nature right here. And then from what I understand is that this clown is trying to get his court dates pushed to 2026, so therefore he could run off in the election. Now, what's going to happen is if the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, if he runs for president, he's going to win, okay? Now, here's why he's going to win, is because what's happening is Dr. Claude Anderson has stated, you got this ignorant crew called Niggas for Trump, number one, which is really sad, and I think them fools have been sipping on too much moonshine.
You got Niggas for Trump, you got Kim for Trump, you got Asian
yeah.
for Trump, you got Women for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of crap-smoking coons out there just ready to ham it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then that brain-dead mayor of Chicago that you have, Larry Elder, Uncle Tim Scott.
I'm looking at any to recall Brandon
Brandon Johnson,
the old
coon too.
Yeah. That's that fool's name is Brandon Johnson up there in the Shy. Yeah. And so what is happening is that they want these black mayors, you know, to keep the foot on our neck of our own people and let these immigrants come in here. Now, what the problem is with that, okay, is that we built this goddamn country. You see what I'm saying? And nobody wants to, you know, give us credit for that, okay? You got Yasa bosses out there who believe that the only way that we're going to prosper for us as a people is to integrate and assimilate. And, you know, an elder, Malcolm X, told us that that's impossible. That's not going to happen. It's all going to be about somebody else capitalizing off of our misery, our suffrage. You say that's the investment right there. And the returns is the revenue that they made off of it, that they made off of that revenue, that they made off of that revenue until the Industrial Revolution, that they made off of that revenue until the turn of the 20th century, the revenue that they made off of that all through the 20th century and how it's gone off into the 21st century. And any idiot who studies a course in introductory economics will see the pattern on that. It's called the power of the parlay. Okay, now, what they don't want is that they don't want us forming our own leagues in professional sports, because if they did, this would cause a major economical shift in the black community. But what it is that we got to get rid of this self-destructive mindset, thinking that the only way that we're going to prosper is to be like them. No. Okay, it's because when I had visited the Black Wall Street, you know, about a week and a half ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you could still feel the vibe of that hatred in the air. you can still feel the vibe of that. They want us just to suffer peacefully, as Malcolm said. Yeah. You know, just
and you
like,
know what,
it
was very low on black people, man. Like, I'm so tired of seeing places that have been ethnically cleansed, gentrified. I mean, just, it's so lily white out in the world now. But there's no black people. Like, where are the black people? And you would think that you would see, like, maybe even a couple of black tourists going down to Tulsa. You know, and the thing is just that the sisters working in there, you know what I mean? I mean, you only showed us a little bit, but I'm just saying, it was dead. It was like, it was empty. It was a nice day. You would think there'd be some, you know, beautiful couples and maybe a couple of children out there just walking the nice clean streets. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That place was tidy. I get that. That was a nice clean place, too.
And then also, too. Yes, ma'am. And then also, too, up there in the city of Oakland over there by Lake Merritt, they did name a street after Tupac Shakur. Okay. So you know, we want to definitely acknowledge that. You know, that happened within the last 5 to 10 days. But what it is that when they invested in that slave labor, okay, this here had contributed greatly to the gross national product of the United States and the gross national product of Europe. So they are doing the right thing in Africa about getting them up out of there, particularly what they're trying to do in Niger. You see what I mean? You know, and then on top of it is, and then too, like when Thomas Sankara was alive, and I remember the day he got assassinated. Okay, he had a vision. He was a young man. I believe he was under the age of 45. So, and I'm not by my laptop right now, so if somebody could pull some information up on that, yeah, that they'd be greatly, greatly appreciated. Now,
the thing, you just got like 70 windows open on this side of the computer, so I got to find, I kind of like the blog talk for a second. But I'll look it up in like a moment, and I'll look it up.
Yeah, oh yeah, and close the windows, you know, except for one, and then put in Thomas Sankara, okay, and I think Mr. Sankara was under the age of 45 when he was assassinated in 1987, and once again, you know, it's the damn French, you see what I mean? Because they were very, very brutal. You know, the Spaniards was brutal, but the British and the Portuguese were extremely brutal. You see what I mean? So this all-inclusive shit, you see what I'm saying, is going to serve everybody else, but it's going to be a huge detriment to us. You see? And the reason why they do not want us to have any economical power is because they are in fear of what they call retribution. Okay, now, you got all this garbage coming over the internet with artificial intelligence. So we need some of our people there, you know, who are scholarly with that and skilled in that to start harnessing that information to upgrading black businesses. You see what I'm saying? We put ourselves to work first, you see, and do not be so free-hearted with the knowledge. You see what I'm saying? And then also, too. Yeah.
I got a question. I've been noticing a lot of people talking about, like, you know, when a lot of content creators or whatever talking about that they, you know, that they don't want to see any more, they don't want to see any black politicians. And I was like, is that a universal black stance? Or is this just like some, oh, we're cool shit, or what is this about? Because, like, you know, you got people like me and Jesse that want to change the narrative, like the complete narrative for black people. You know what I mean? Like, it's not talk, it's real, it's reality for us. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And what it is that a lot of these individuals are on puppet strings, you know, to the white slave masters. You see what I'm saying? So once again.
Hold on, Brother Shibaka, we got a caller.
Oh, okay.
Arch? All right. I'm sorry, you're on Blog Talk? Who are we talking to?
Yeah, hello. This is Solution. Can you hear me? You just opened my mic.
Yes, Solution. Yeah, we hear you loud and clear. How
are you
doing this evening? And welcome to Shibaka's Black Experience Enhanced.
Yeah, Shibaka, absolutely wonderful. And thank you for asking. What I like to teach people, I've done a lot of mentoring. I like to teach them a competitive spirit. Part of being successful, number one, is proper preparation.
Hold on.
Right. Okay, we had a solution and we lost him.
No, we didn't lose him.
Yeah, I'm here. Someone muted me, Shabaka.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry about that. We try to figure out this 111
code. Right. Well, one of them may be me.
Yeah, you're
okay. All right.
Okay, may I proceed or should I
yes,
wait?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay.
Here you
go.
I heard someone mention, maybe it was you, Shabaka, that talked about, i.e., the white man or any man. I don't give a damn who the man is.
Okay.
If a person is a man, is a human, there's a way to deal with them and deal with them effectively. And, you know, I don't believe in trauma bonding or victim Olympics. I like to get the job done. So what I say when I do mentoring, I teach people how to be competitive. And that is a skill that's very lacking in many people. They don't know how to be competitive. The easiest thing in the world to do is to blame someone else for a person's own I would say lack of success or whatever.
Okay.
But there are ways to be competitive and to win. Now, one final thing, and I would love to hear your feedback if you so choose, and that is a lot of people are so ego-driven that they're not willing to really learn new methodologies of competitiveness so that they may win. So what do you think about that?
Okay, well, what I think about that there, solution is that this is why you got this word called innovation. And, of course, an innovator is like a creator or one who can come up with a method, you know, to countermand, you know, say something that's going against them, to sidestep it and then go ahead and launch his, I'm not going to use the word attack, but to launch his emphasis on what he is trying to do. But what is happening is in the American public educational system, when it comes to black youth, they are taught to hate themselves, they are taught to confuse these alphabetized individuals who I really feel sorry for as a normalcy, and that is not normal. And what proves that is because you see this here in people, but you don't see it in other forms of life. Like, you don't see male bunny rabbits going around calling himself a female bunny rabbit. He's busy out trying to go get him a female bunny rabbit to make little more bunny rabbits. You don't hear of a horse, you know, a stallion saying that he's a filly, which is a female racehorse, I believe, you know, where I got the term from. You see, so basically, these individuals, you know, who could be screwed up in the head, who've been through some type of trauma in their life, they have their human rights and they have their civil rights. Okay, so I recognize that. I will agree with you on that as well, too. But when it comes to innovation, that there's the person who's coming up with a great big idea. Well, hey, I like this, I like that, you know, now. There was a white woman who was doing African braiding of hair, and I got into about four or five arguments from people on Facebook saying, okay, what type of tariffs is this individual paying to the black community for taking, you know, our culture or, let's say, some of our innovation is because a commodity is a physical item. Okay, what is she kicking back to the black community? And, of course, we already know the answer is nothing. Now, when you look at a cesspool like Hollywood, look at all the black talent that they stole during the 30s and the 40s and the science of movie making, ideas of stories and things of that nature right there. And you had already an implanted counterman to that when you look at a film called The Imitation of Life. Now, here's Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. This is not a hatred. Plus, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced is a division of Frontline Black News. Let me get that out there. Okay, this isn't hatred. What it is a self-sufficiency, so therefore we cannot go out there and be dependent upon another group to invest in us and reap the benefits. This is why it's investments and returns tonight. But every time that black business tried to come up and get independent, you always had some power broker, you know what I'm saying, coming in there to derail it. Now, why is the power broker so afraid of black business becoming successful? Riddle me that solution.
Right. Well, let me just say this, if I may. You brought up a number of interesting issues, and I think I heard you say about finances. Now, that's one of the things that I do is I share with people how to improve their finances. But I do
okay.
want to focus on what you said about the school system, if I may.
Right. Yes, sir.
Let me focus on the school system. The primary responsibility for education or educating one's children are the parents, not the school system. The school system is supplemental. It's not primary.
Okay.
So, you know, so the thing of it is most parents are cognizant of the fact that they have to introduce their children to the information that they know that their children will need to be successful in life, both
okay.
Socially and economically. And so
right.
if parents fail to do that, then we need to put the onus where the onus should be. Now, a lot of schools, you have your charter schools, and, of course, you have your vouchers. And
right.
if the school is not turning out an educated product, and I'm going to put this in business terms if you don't mind.
Sure.
If the school is not turning out the proper educated product, then it is the responsibility of the community to make the change.
Okay.
And I often said, because I'm highly invested in the educational system, and I often said if parents would get their butts, I know it takes a little bit of an effort, but to those PTA meetings and influence the school system so that the school
okay.
system will provide what you want. And then
okay.
give your kids supplemental reading. That
okay.
may be necessary, a little bit of tutoring and this sort of thing. See, it is the ultimate negligence or form of negligence to blame the school system for a child's failed education. It is the parents'
okay.
It is the parents' responsibility, and I'm standing on that. Go ahead.
Resolution. I have a question.
Yes.
How,
go
how
ahead.
How would you solve the problem? Say the parents are not, you know, black informed or black history informed, meaning that they're not, you know, they haven't been, you know, properly educated on their own history. How would you then address tutoring?
Right. Great question. All of us realize and or should, it's one of the characteristics of an adult to realize our shortcomings. And so what we do is we get supplemental information. There's no way around getting properly informed. And this applies to everybody. That's what they should do is to get properly informed about that which they know they aren't, and then
mm-hmm.
proceed with methodologies. Now, to rectify it, now that is going to take collaboration. And I know
mm-hmm.
collaboration is difficult for a lot of people. It's hard to get people in sync, but
mm-hmm.
it is their responsibility to be in sync. And look at it
mm-hmm.
this way. If you're blaming your enemy, what the F does your enemy care? Your enemy
right.
is laughing at you. It's not
oh,
their
yes,
responsibility
sir.
To do for you what you need to be done. It's always.
Okay.
The onus is always on the person, the group,
right.
the state, the nation, whatever entity is in question. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Okay, now, what you're saying right there, solution, and I love the way, man, how you broke that down, very, very sound reasoning. very, very sound logic. But what it is that as Dr. Carter G. Woodson has stated in The Miseducation of the Negro, is that the educational systems, when it comes to black children, are telling them to be inclusive with the oppressor as opposed to becoming self-sufficient. Yeah, see, this is what has to be emphasized this day and age, and particularly here in the 21st century with all this high-tech information that you have, these algorithms, man, this artificial intelligence, and the children and the young ones, you know, who are innovators have got to come up with ideas to counterman this, okay? Case in point, Solution, I'm sure you've seen this video, and me and Brother Chad, we have commented on about the confused dude up in the classroom arguing with the teacher, and he is talking about call him by his pronoun that he wants to be identified as a woman, and this is clearly is a man, you know, got a full beard. Women don't grow beards. He's up here wearing a wig. You see what I'm saying? And he has
right.
probably been the victim of some type of sexual trauma in his formative years. You see what
right.
I mean? Okay,
right,
and
right.
then if you ever saw that movie called Holiday's Heart with Ving Rhames, and I was kind of disappointed in Ving Rhames of playing that role, and somebody was asking him about why is he like that, and then he breaks down and almost cried, and then he states that he himself was violated, you know, as a youngster. You see what I mean?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So that there has to be checked out as well, too. Now, another thing that you have to look at, too, Solution, is an institution called Hollywood. And from what I understand, they settled their strike and all that so they can go up there and write some more of that garbage, you know. And the reason why I am qualified to crumb bum on Hollywood the way that I do, because I grew up in the city of Los Angeles, and they always want to put in some twist. There's always some hidden narrative, you know, that they want to push. But one thing, though, is that the American ethos, hate with a passion, is an independent-minded, strong black male figure in the household. It's because it's even like when you look at the society of elephants, it's the male elephants that teaches the baby boy elephants how to be grown elephants. The same thing with the tigers. I'm sorry, not the tigers, the lions. As well, too. You see what I mean? And then also, too, in a lot of African cultures, you say, you know, there's emphasis on the procreation of life of man and woman. And this is why, you know, a man could have as many wives that he could afford to take care of, you see, to build the nation up. You see, like what King Shaka did with the Zulu nation. Also, too, like what Queen Nzinga did when she ran the Portuguese up out of what they call modern-day Angola. You see what I'm saying? And these Europeans are really not qualified to tell us of how we should feel is because the black experience is not their experience, and I don't give a damn how many bed wenches these white guys have. I don't care how many buck wenches that the white woman have. But however, as you know, with the double standard on there, is that if the black male got caught with the white woman, of course, you know, unfortunate things happen to him. But the rape and slave trading pedophile will go ahead and violate 13, 14-year-old black girls, and this is considered the norm. Check out a movie called The Band of Angels that they made in 1957, starring a woman by the name of Yvonne DiCarlo, who is the same
yeah, Shabaka,
woman that...
I have a yes. comment to you. I can't fix everything, but I can mm-hmm. fix a few things. And this is what I would say to you. And
yes.
I hear your complaint. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But a complaint without a solution and or power is just that, a complaint. What I would suggest
oh, yeah.
you do, and I'll just throw this proverb out there.
Mm-hmm.
A chain is no stronger than its weakest link.
Weakest link, exactly.
Right.
Okay.
In order to
and
have
then,
a strong chain, you've got to get a lot of strong links. And
oh, fact.
So I would say all the problems that you just expressed are what always occurs in human society. I guarantee you, I don't know how well traveled you are, but certainly you can identify with what I'm about to say. I guarantee
mm-hmm.
you go into any group you're going to find people with similar, if not the same, complaints that you just alleged, that you just charged.
Because okay,
let me just finish this thought. The way to overcome all of those complaints, or at least most of them, is to become empowered. And no one is going to do that for you. Now, you have a program. Obviously, you have a platform here, and maybe you're in other places. But now you raise something that we can certainly we can certainly sync with, and that is money. Money is going to be required to get political attention and personal empowerment. You're going to have the resources. There's no way to get around that. Because even if there are people that are available to help you, you've got to pay those people. They're not going to work for you. So what I would say to you and anyone else who has a complaint is, first of all, look at self-empowerment. Secondly, look at becoming competitive. There are a number of books on the market. I love recommending books.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I think I heard of that one.
Yeah, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the Millionaire Next Door, Dr. Claude Anderson, who identifies as, I think he calls himself a person of color. He doesn't use the term black because he says it's ambiguous and meaningless. There's no real ontology in the word black, according to him. So he says if you're going to identify yourself as a non-immigrant American, and that is a word that's very thought-worthy, a non-immigrant America, and that has to do with primacy or primacy, being the first or being the oldest, that is one with prestige, or a person of color. But whatever you do, you're going to have to unite around certain known and practiced principles. And number one is going to be wealth accumulation. Poor people will not pass on anything but their poverty, right?
Their
complaints, by the way. Their poverty and their complaints. So I would say learn. This is one of the best systems in the world, by the way. This is the reason people are breaking into America. Now, they're breaking out of other countries, right, to break into here. Now, if they see something, and these are usually uneducated people. These are uneducated, unempowered, or disempowered, and basically illiterate people. But they know that there's something here. They can smell it, and they are pursuing it. They don't speak the language, and that's a real handicap, by the way. So I would say to you, as one who was possibly born here, Native American, is to learn the system and learn how to navigate the system. The system is very fruitful, and it's very rewarding for those who will pursue it properly.
Now what you're speaking on right there, solution, is Smithsonian economics, you know, by Adam Smith, the invisible hand theory, and what have you. And this is why when black people were migrating from the South, you know, going into the northern industrial areas, New York, Chicago, St. Louis, Detroit, Michigan, New York City, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Ohio, a lot of the unions had prohibited black men from being members of these unions. Now, I define myself as a diasporic African in America, because as you know, the diaspora is all out, is all whole. Now, for me to call myself as an American, then that there means that I would be embracing miseducation of guys like Leo Terrell and Larry Elders. Those Negroes are pathetic, They make me want to vomit.
Brother
Spocket,
Brother Solution, hold on 1 second, okay? Just let me chime in real fast just for 2 seconds. Jesse's in the chat. I think Joe Gibson is in the chat. But Joe, you know you can always call up there. Jesse's just in there right now, and there's some stuff. Shibaka, you can read if you want to. I believe now that we've been referring ourselves to, Jesse and Dr. Cloud refers as Native Black Americans, but also we've been referring to ourselves as foundational Black Americans, the people, the foundation of America here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I won't get into that too much, brothers, but I just wanted to say that it's a lot of good information, and at the end of the day, how do you feel, Brother Solution, about explaining reparations in your tutoring sessions? Let's talk about that.
Well, let me just explain this to Shabaka, if I may, and then if you don't mind, I'll come back to that.
Yes,
but Shabaka, what I would say is that, again, just like I spoke of any sort of complaints, or any group, rather, that you go into, you're going to have complaints, either similar or the same as yours. The other mm-hmm. thing I would like for you to understand, in graduate school, I wrote a paper on so-called race, mm-hmm. gender, and class, those
okay.
three. Those mm-hmm. are really sexy topics, by the way, because
yeah.
they mm-hmm. have a lot of drama attached to them. They have a lot attached to them, a lot of history. So
right.
so I would say with any group, now you mentioned two guys just a moment ago, and maybe you can tell me at some juncture when you're convenient as to what they do that's so awful. But in any group of people, and I do emphasize any, you're going to have different classes of people based on primarily education and economic status. Those
mm-hmm.
are the two, they're not the only, but they're the two major identifiers of class.
Mm-hmm.
And class means that a person has a certain amount of power and
mm-hmm.
or group power. So you have both
mm-hmm.
personal and group power. So
mm-hmm.
you have to understand everybody doesn't see things, just like you may not see things through my eyes. And
mm-hmm.
I may not see things through your eyes, but
mm-hmm.
it is human and it's intelligent to try and find common ground, to try and find common ground. And usually if people seek it, they'll find it. But this is my point again. People of different classes that may be identified as the same cultural group, they exist differently. They exist differently. Like
okay.
some people don't have problems getting loans, even now.
Right.
Some people don't
right.
have problems buying houses or whatever you want to see as a problem. Everybody will not have those problems. So you have to
mm-hmm.
try and understand, and sometimes it takes a little bit of lowering oneself, ego-wise, and maybe saying, well, how do you do this? I know I can't do it, and I'm pissed off. I can't
mm-hmm.
do it, and I'm pissed, and
mm-hmm.
I want to do it.
Are you referring to Black people or all races?
I'm referring to anybody who feels disempowered.
Mm-hmm.
That is not no one has a monopoly on that.
Uh-huh.
You can find disempowered people of any hue, right? Any hue, any color, any shade. This is a people problem. And once one understands that, I think they can go better about a solution to it. And so that would be my position, is to come current, learn the system. You need to learn this. One needs to learn the system that controls them, that governs them, and learn how to manipulate the damn thing. It's not hard.
Okay. Okay, now, funny you should say that, okay, because when you look at Hollywood, right, there was
Let me ask you, where is Sarge, yeah. by the way? Is Sarge anywhere in sight?
Not yet, but God can't wait.
No, Sarge is always welcome. Sarge keeps us on.
All right, okay, go ahead. I just wanted to ask.
Okay, what it is, sir, I identify myself as a Black man in America of African descent of the Fulani. Now,
okay.
I'm going to show you something, okay? I don't know if you ever been to the Bay Area or not, of Oakland, California in particular. Brother Che had. One day I was in a Starbucks, okay, and it was a young woman there, you know, from the continent, and I'd ask her, I says, are you Fulani or are you Ashanti? And she stated to me is that she was Ashanti, and she stated to me that if I was Fulani, I would look just like you. You see what I mean? So therefore, to sit up here and identify ourselves as Americans, we might as well tell the raping, slave trading pedophiles that own our family that, excuse the expression I'm going to use, that we're still their niggas. It's because, see, the sad part about it is when you had the Willie Lynch doctrine that I'm very, very sure, solution that you're familiar with, where you would divide the slaves or the black community by gender, by age, by those who worked in the house and by those who worked in the field. And I think Malcolm X had said it perfectly well, is that you had the field Negro and you had the house Negro, okay? But when the field Negro will go up to the house Negro and says, hey, man, let's get away from this evil, cruel master. Let's separate. The house Negro will sit up there and say, man, you crazy. What's better than we have right here? So this is what the miseducation of the Negro was about. And then as you do too know, solution, because, you know, you're a very intelligent man, very educated man. Actually, I have to concede to you that you're more educated than I am.
Wait.
But they always want to keep the black male, repeat, not the black female, because they can make a bed wench out of her. Like when you look at that movie, Imitation of Life, which was very sad, that will break your heart, you see. But when a black male had showed any type of manhood or resistance, the first thing they wanted to do is that they wanted to castrate him. Now, what's up with that? They always referred to him as a boy. They always demasculated him in the presence of the black woman so she could say to herself, well, I can't depend on him for no type of protection from me. Then you had black women like Sister Harriet Tubman who took that 12-gauge double barrel and said, hey, nah, we escaping here. And once you get on this train, there's no turning back. And then there was all kind of 6'8", 250-pound, well-built field hand. Oh, Miss Harriet, we can't do this. We can't leave Master. You know, he's been so good to us. And what did Miss Harriet do? She leveled that street sweeper, locked both barrels, and says, look, fool, you're going to either be dead or you're going to be free. And you got like about 10 seconds to make up your mind. See, so therefore, two solution, we also have to look at the chain that's been placed on the brain of the slave-minded Negro that did transcend from generation to generation to generation, even after slavery, or chattel slavery, as Brother Parris likes to say.
Dr. Martin Luther King himself has stated that
before his assassination, and I was a kid when he was assassinated, and I remember the day he was assassinated, but shortly before he was, in fact, murdered, he said, you know what, people, I think I led our people into a burning house with this integration. Now,
I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to drop an educational and financial bomb on you. Like, if I were to ask you right now, would you you hear people saying, I know you didn't say this, but you mentioned finances. I love finances. Finances, health, and relationships are my fortes, okay? Those are the areas that I really, really But now, this is what I would say to you. And it's a secret. It's not a secret. And this is it. If you want a 30% roughly return on your money, mm-hmm. and you do, right? You want a return on your money, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, watch this. Get out of debt. Pay off all your debtors.
Right.
And you will receive roughly a 30% return. To hell with 10%. 10%
right.
is always good, by the way. I don't want to poo-poo 10%. Get
right.
out of debt. Now, most people don't have the guts to do that. They don't have the executive decision-making skills, or they
right.
refuse to develop them. But getting out of debt... Hold on, let me just finish this thought. Getting out of debt will take you anywhere from 18 months to 36 months. That's a year and a half to 3 years. And
right.
then you'll be much freer. You'll be much more empowered. Will you
right.
do it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been trying to do it, man, for the last 25 years.
Wait a minute. I have something else. I have another point. And I particularly tell this to young men, because young men have to develop value, young men across the board. And I tell them to work anywhere from 60 to 80 hours a week. And this is no joke.
Right.
60 to 80 hours a week. A man can lose a lot of money chasing women, but he won't lose any women chasing money.
Exactly.
That right there is a formula for success, Shabaka. Stay off drugs.
Yes,
stay. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. I'm agreeing with you with what you were saying. You see what I mean? It's because if a man makes the money, the women are going to come automatically.
No pun intended.
I'm just being real.
Can I say something, fellas? Real fast?
Yeah.
I'll be real. All right. Thank you. I just want to say that Jess is in the chat, so I'm going to read like his comments real quick, not to be described as little, and then I got to make a comment of my own. So I'll be really quick. I read very fast. He says that Jess says we live under a global system of racism and white supremacy, not a global system of classism. He also said, only solution is to replace a system of racism, white supremacy, with a system of justice, guaranteeing no one is mistreated by the color of their skin, and those that need most constructive help get it. Shabaka, you are FBA DOAS, Friedman. Fulani is a tribe, it's not a nationality or country. He also says, Shabaka, you have a lineage in the Alabamas, not in any African country. He also says, Malcolm X talked about our people not wanting to acknowledge our lineage in the United States. He also said, so-called countries, kingdoms, and empires that existed 400 or 500 years didn't exist anymore. So we, FBA, DOAS, descendants of, Friedman, are our own distinct ethnic group in this country. Acknowledging doesn't make you ignorant, a house Negro or a brain dead Negro. It makes you intelligent that you are acknowledging your lineage. Me and Shabaka disagree on this subject. Then he says, solution is Shabaka, please stop cutting off Lady J. That's me. Okay, yeah. And then my thing is this.
Okay, all right.
I can use this real quick. Real fast, before I cut to anyone. I just want to say this, I understand getting out of debt, and you're absolutely correct, especially with what you're telling men, as far as working and you know, the money and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what does that have to do with tonight's topic of slavery is what I want to talk about.
Okay. To answer his question, Lady Tay, is that we're talking about investments and returns, and Mr. Solution right here understands this concept perfectly. You see what
and
I mean?
If we were the slaves, right, and we're the investment, and there's the return, that's what I want him to explain to me. I want him to explain to me so he can explain to everybody else just like that how it affects our topic. That's all I'm saying. Not that I'm ignorant, just for the people listening.
Okay. Okay, all right. You see, that's the argument there, Lady Che, of the reparations, is because, you see, we produced the wealth of this nation, okay? And then, as I told Joe Gibson before on his platform, and then I think he had that idiot Pianchi out there, is that New Orleans contributed greatly to the gross national product of the United States, let me see, circa 1837. Now, keep in mind, people, I'm going from memory. I don't have my notes in front of me, so please bear with me. Okay, so therefore, that's what we're saying, investments and return. They kept parlaying the money, which was also the foundation of the Industrial Revolution. Yes, but the black woman, that's why she was referred to as a jewel, is because the rape and slave trade and pedophile would go ahead and violate her. And just like what we did with the analogy of the auction block, okay, you get an old-ass bastard like Shabaka with half his teeth gone, well, this fool is probably worth about $100. Okay, you get a 14-year-old female $3,000, okay, because she's a jewel, and then a white racist slave trading pedophile will violate her, you see what I'm saying, and have offspring on that. You know, look at a picture called Mandingo that we thank Sarge for coming in on with that. And then to quote the words of the former heavyweight champion before he kicked the shit out of George Foreman and Zaire, no, 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 we are not brothers. Brothers don't lynch brothers and castrate them and take cut off their private parts and put it off in their mouth. Also, too, picnics, as Brother Chad and I have discovered before. Picnics, excuse the expression, people, is where you go out there to pick a nigga to go up there and to lynch him. White folk will sit there and have a picnic about it. They'll sit there and grin of how they will lynch this poor brother, then set him on fire. And then another thing, too, that nobody has yet to come up with an answer for. Why would they would always castrate the black male? See? Okay. See?
I was listening.
Okay, now give us some feedback on that there, Solution.
Well, what's your question again, please?
Yeah, why would they castrate the black male, plus that they would have picnics, and like I stated, and the term picnic means, excuse the expression, to pick a nigga, and they would castrate him, they would burn him, and then they would hang him, and then they would sit down and eat food while they were doing this, of witnessing such an atrocity. See, this is in the American ethos, okay? And then as Dr. Claude Anderson has stated, because Brother Che did show the video where Dr. Claude Anderson has stated about 2014, was that, Brother Che? What he stated is that it's going to be the migrants, it's going to be the new Ku Klux Klan. And which proves this point is like all those migrants who went up into the city of Chicago and then went to that little black girl who was on her way to school, where they're going to slash her face. You see what I'm saying? What's up with that?
Right. Well, let me just respond to a portion of what you said.
Yes.
First of all, any group that conquers another group attempts to dominate and denigrate them. They keep them alive. Now, every group does that. Every group. That's not unique to any group. Now, let me say this. I know a little bit about African history, and I think this is pretty easy to validate, and that is, were it not for the African chieftains that participated in what's called a transatlantic slave trade, it never would have happened.
Solution. I got to throw a flag. Stop right there.
Now, let me just finish. Let me finish the thought.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
All right, thank you. See, because if one is going to be transparent, and that's the best way to be, it's good to go ahead and be transparent, because there's some baggage that comes with not being transparent, the root of the problem alive, and this is what I mean. If one goes into, on the continent of Africa, for example, where people of dark melanin, everybody is on the continent of Africa, by the way, whether you're in North Africa or West Africa or Sub-Saharan Africa, Africa is a huge country, about 3 to 5 times the size of the U.S., and
it's
54.
It's not a country.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me finish. It's a continent. I understand that. And it's comprised of about 53 countries, separate countries.
A fact. Yes.
But this is the point, though. Yes, thank you. This is the point.
Yes, Bobby, that's exactly.
Is that Africans participated in the slave trade. In fact,
stop,
I think
right there.
Chad. Chad is participating in slavery today. But the thing of it is, those different African tribes knew each other, and they were not in agreement. They were warring. Many of those tribes captured other Africans that were not of their tribe and actually sold them to Europeans. It's called the slave trade. They traded slaves.
Hold on, Solution. Now, see, There's one thing that you are forgetting right there, and you've got to mention this fact right here. That was in the beginning. Now, as the slave market grew, the Europeans would come back, capture more slaves, including the ones that he bought the original Africans from in the first place, is because they would get to Gory Island. Okay, this ship here will hold, let's say, 80 males and 40 females. Okay, we got them there. We got them chained down. Oh, you know what? We got room for like about, say, 25 more, and then they will go to that same bastard that they bought them from and throw his ass off there in the hull of the slave ship, too. This was the case of Sin Q and the Amistad. It's because Sin Q was the son of the royalty in Africa. You see what I'm saying? Or the particular nation, I believe it was the Mende, if I got it right. You see what I'm saying? So I don't have no problem of what you're saying, Solution, but just be sure to put that fact in there as well, too, is because the European was all about divide and conquer. He did the same thing.
Let me say this. You make an excellent point, Shabaka, and this is the point. I hope this point stays with you, because it'll certainly stay with me, and it's this. There is no way that Europeans with single-shot rifles are not better than bow and arrows if you have men and women that can properly handle them, and they could. But this is the point, is that the Africans were not resistant to selling off their human capital, because if they were, they could have resisted it. They could have easily resisted it, because the Europeans were unfamiliar with the landscape.
No, they did resist.
Let me just finish this point, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong. Europeans, first of all, the Europeans tried to enslave other Europeans. Didn't work. The Europeans would escape, run off, and into the general population. The Europeans tried to enslave the American Indians because they needed a cheap source of labor. Right. The Indians would attack them, attack their colonies, and get their people, rescue their people, and disappear into the forest. Okay, it wouldn't work with other whites. It wouldn't work with American Indians. And get this, they also tried to enslave Mexicans, right?
Yeah,
it didn't work with them because the Mexicans would do the same thing. They would fight them off. Hold on a minute. Let me just finish the point, because this point usually doesn't get expressed. The Africans did not resist the European.
All right, man, I had to meet somebody. Just hold on a second. I'm sorry, brother, but you can't disrespect me like that.
Ma'am, wait a minute, please. Hold on just a second. The Africans were the only ones that participated. I've given you three examples of other groups who escaped, who fought, and who resisted. Oh, damn. Go ahead, Shabaka.
Okay, all right. Okay, what it is, Solution, is that the European came with his
I'm not a at all, so we just go a little like that. But you can't disrespect me on the show either, you know, sir. It'd be polite. Go ahead, Shabaka. Go ahead.
Okay. Keep in mind is that it is documented, but a lot of European scholars do not want to recognize this fact, is that they were African nations that did storm those slave ships at Gory Islands trying to get their loved ones back. And then, as I stated before, as the slave market grew, the Europeans came and took the monarchy of who they allegedly bought them from. A classic example of this is Her Majesty Queen Nzinga of Mutamba, is because the Portuguese came down there. She met with them when she was about 15, 16 years old. Her brother went off with the Portuguese. He did not come back. Okay, so then they come back again and told Her Majesty, well, you are a subject of Portugal, and Her Majesty Queen Nzinga said, hey, look, check this trick. you got about 15 minutes to get the fuck up out of here with that bullshit. And then she went on a war path and she fought those stinking, nasty bastards for 50 fucking years. And that is a fact. And then not to mention the fact is that the European was so barbaric toward himself. You see what I'm saying? And this is why he had transported lies and miseducated Negroes to believe in racist white supremacy, to quote Brother Che. Now, come on with it, Solution. Now, what do you got to say to that one?
I'm going to mute you because you got a little feedback, so I'm going to let him in now. I'm going to let him in. Hopefully, you know, he'll be kosher. Hold on a second. Hold on. There you go. There you go. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Solution.
God damn.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, shit.
Respectful. Carry on.
Finish a point.
But go ahead.
You don't have to run from this. I'm not trying to. Okay. According to Ship's Manifest, only 4% of the slaves from the west coast of Africa were dropped off in America. The predominant cargo of slaves were dropped off in the West Indies and in Brazil. There's a much stronger African culture in those locales than there is in America, okay? So again, I think that's quite significant. 96% of the slaves during the slave trade, transatlantic slave trade, were transported to Brazil and the West Indies. Do you identify that, Shabaka?
I'm a unmute. Hold on one second. I'm unmute him so he can answer you.
Am I on there? Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, you are there. You just have feedback.
Yeah, he's right about Brazil. And then the Portuguese was perhaps some of the most savage of the slave traders going behind the French. It's because they did not outlaw slavery in Brazil until 1894. You see what I mean? And then also, too, as Malcolm X, you know, prior to his assassination, is that he had traveled abroad to form an alliance of all the African nations, and he was going to go to the United Nations to bring human rights violations of the United States towards African people. Now, keep in mind,
who assassinated Malcolm X, by the way?
Who assassinated Malcolm X?
Yes.
Okay, that's still up in the air because allegedly it was supposed to have been four members of his former organization, but then information has came out, you say, that it was another force, and this was recently, you say, and I'm of the opinion that people are still getting knocked off today behind that, you see what I'm saying? And then the X-Man did state that he did not expect to live long enough to read his book in its finished form, in which he didn't. But the thing is that the European fears the most. The thing that the dump supporters fear the most. And when I say the dump, I mean as in human shit. And I want to be perfectly clear about that, okay, is that they do not want to see a united black force. Now,
wasn't Malcolm X in a major struggle with the members of Islam?
Okay, I'm not going to comment on that, but what I was getting to their solution was that you had a homosexual.
Well, transparency is important there, Shabaka.
Hi, everybody, go on mute. I got to read Shay's comments real quick because he's like, put everybody on mute. All right, he said, Shabaka, check your headset. He said Queen Nzinga tried to get the enslaved Africans back. What is he talking about? Solution out of pocket. Stop cutting me off. And he agreed with Solution on that about the transatlantic slave trade. And I did read your comments. Okay, now I'm gonna go ahead and unblock everybody else. Sorry, y'all gotta have some quorum, man.
All right. But what I'm saying though, Solution, is this: there's a whole lot of information that they had erased, you see, and this is as Miriam Makeba has stated, Mama Africa, who did our opening song tonight of the African sunset, is that the traditions and the histories was translated orally by what they would call griots in some of the nations in Africa. And then the white man did not acknowledge them of being in existence until they discovered them, which is utterly ridiculous. Now, let's look at a drunk bastard by the name of Christopher Columbus. He didn't wash his ass. He was filthy. He was nasty. And a stupid bastard thought he was going to India when in actuality he landed on the continent of Aztlan, commonly referred to as North America. Also, too, the miseducation of the Negro, as by Carter G. Woodson. Then you also got to look at two solutions. The Willie Lynch doctrine was to keep the slaves divided amongst themselves on the plantation system. Now, another torpedo that I hate to bust people's bubble on is where you had the quote-unquote free blacks, you know what I'm saying? And then you got to go look at a movie called 12 Years as a Slave, where this so-called free black was put on the auction block, you see? And
well, let me ask you this, Chewbacca, and I just want clarity. I'm not seeking to agree. Do you recognize that there has been tremendous improvement between the cultures, if you want to call them black, the people who identify that way, acknowledge that there has been tremendous social improvement for everybody, blacks included?
No, sir. None whatsoever.
In America.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about is in America. None whatsoever, because, see,
So wait a minute, Chewbacca. Let me just get clarity on this. So, in other words, you're saying 100 years ago, it was no different then than it is today?
Yes, sir. And to prove my point even further, look at all these killings by
Chewbacca,
the...
Chewbacca, come on. Be honest, man. Come on.
Man. Sir.
Greetings. Am I
on?
Am I able to speak?
By the police. You see what I'm saying? You got to look at that. You see, that's been going on for the last 10, 15 years with Mike Brown out there with a man out there, Mario Woods in San Francisco. You see what I'm saying? You know, the dude who was shot and killed in his own house by a white woman police officer who was found not guilty of killing a man in his own house. Now, you tell me, Solution, you're an intelligent man.
Chewbacca, let me ask you this. Do you ever look at the details of, say, Chicago or even D.C., how many blacks loaded gun at each other and pulled the trigger?
Okay, funny you should mention Chicago.
Hold on a minute. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. When a policeman kills someone under the badge of authority, I think that needs to be weighed heavily. I really do. Because they are doing it under the color of authority. So we agree on that, hopefully. My other question to you, in terms of the larger numerosity and capacity, hold on, ma'am. Would you allow me to get the point out, for God's sake?
Okay, Lady J, let him finish his point, because I got a four-point combination that I'm going to countermand him on.
We got another person.
Well, but I don't know about countermanding, because you have to look at it from the standpoint of the people who actually suffer and die in the areas like Chicago. That is absolutely horrible, and nobody cares about that. All they care about... Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm just... Go ahead.
Okay. What I'm saying is this.
You call in press 1, and I'll let you in on the program. I don't see your number yet. But when you call in, just press 1, okay? And Jesse said he's tired.
At least me and so far, so you might
are you calling for the
1-1-1? Okay, well, that's the Dark Shader.
There's enough going on this call. Y'all arguing back and forth. You can't hear me?
No, since I didn't see you call in on the phone line. I'm sorry. Are you calling in on the chat line?
I don't know what I'm calling in on. I'm just on.
All right, well,
Glenn, that's the Doc Shader. That's the Doc Shader. She's very, very
well,
happy.
Let me introduce myself. Since I'm on here, you can hear me. I am L. Christina Akshita Beta. I represent the Matriarch and Pain, the Pan-African Intelligence Network, as we the people.
Yes.
She's the Empire of Assyria and the Empire of Nubia. I'm here creating a bridge of change based on human rights of indigenous people out of the Americas. surrounding islands,
at home
and abroad.
Salute.
Yes, salute.
Okay,
let
me check.
There's so much going on this phone call, and I just want to say real quick, Brother Solution, you're making a lot of good points, and I understand why you call yourself Solution, because that's what it's all about, solutions. We can focus on the problem all day long, but if we're focusing on the problem without a solution, what's the point? It's only a senseless debate based on emotion, and what do we care about your emotions? Speak with the facts. And,
right.
and keep it to a point where we can actually come to a conclusion of resolution rather than a debate on what happened in the past. There's so much that's happened in the past, and I agree. There's been a lot of wrong done to a lot of people. But the thing is that we can't focus on race and color because things are happening to all people. So if we never get around race, which is a social construct that has been created to keep us divided and in debate and argument based on race, then we're never going anywhere. It's like a dog chasing its tail.
I hear what you're saying, but we're living in a very, very racist world. And I hear you.
We live in a racist world. We keep it racist because we focus on racism. If we focus on what's good in our lives, if we focus every day on the problems, we'll never get past or beyond them.
Okay, now let me ask
if
you this.
If we focus on what we can do, and we should be the change that we want to see. So you can't expect somebody to come into your life and make a difference when you're not making a difference.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this here, Sister Shada, okay? First of all, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the best shows that we have had, and we've been shadow banned. But I do ask, if we're going to disagree, please let us disagree agreeably. And I think Sister Shada is saying, but this is why Sister Shada and I have discussed over the past, is that that's why we got to build up the economical infrastructures within our communities. Okay, and I just got a text saying that this headset is sounding like junk. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
If you try to hear that, it's like an hour.
Okay, hold on.
That might keep putting
you
up.
Okay, yeah, hold on. Okay, how does the headset sound now?
Terrible.
Is it still horrible, or is it sounding any better?
Yeah, it's just staticky.
Is it staticky?
Yes.
Okay, wait a minute. They do this to us all the time. These little rascals.
Yeah, just talk to them. We're right here. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, what about now?
It's clear. Clear as a bell.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
hey,
so
hey, Shabaka, this is Solution. I have a quick point to make you. It'll take me under 5 seconds. May I?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. You're very gracious, by the way. Look here, this lady grew up in a group home or a, but this is what she said. She says the world, and she puts this in quotation, in parentheses, the world only sees your race, which the lady brilliantly just said, that's a social construct. The world only sees your race when you are the poor. And she grew up in a what do they call these homes that the state runs?
No, foster care. Foster care.
Yeah, that's it. She grew up in foster care, but she got her education. She was on Blog Talk a while ago, but I remember this quote, and I just want to give it to you again. The world only, and she puts only in parentheses, only sees your race when you are the poor. Now, I said that to you synonymously just a moment ago when I said that there are class distinctions. And you must understand all the problems that you are speaking of, people who may identify as you, and that's a very variegated situation there, based on what class they're in, they don't have those issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she say the world only sees your race when you are the poor. And I'm going to add to that and say, generally, a person only sees their race or overemphasizes it when they are poor,
mm-hmm.
because that's what they tend to focus on. Go ahead. Thank you.
I disagree. Okay. I disagree all the way. Well, I disagree because, you know, how can you define class when, you know, the police are pulling you out your car because you're black skin and murdering you in the street? How does that defy class? It's not about race. That's just a little pushback. You just, for context. Let me go ahead and let the next caller in. 301, you're on Block Talk. Who are we speaking with? Welcome.
Black power, black power. Black
white dynamite. What's happening
black
with you?
All right.
Finally,
come on,
finally
dynamite.
Caught up with y'all. Good to hear everybody's voice. Black power.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So what we on tonight?
Okay, what we on tonight, Dynamite, is that we're dealing with, wait a minute, I'm up here trying to look at this daggone, wait a minute, to see, okay. Yeah, tonight, Dynamite, we're dealing with investments and returns. We will be discussing the investments of the raping, slave trading, pedophiles doing slavery in the United States and how those investments still benefit the U.S. economy to this very day. Clowns like Uncle Tim Scott, Larry Elder, Leo Terrell, who ignore these truths, will be crumb-bombed on also. We welcome all black scholars who can drop in-depth knowledge on this travesty. This is episode 398 of season 7. This episode is for those 18 years of age and over. And yeah, I am reading the comments and I'm on a cell phone, you guys. So this is why it appears that, you know, I'm meeting people out. In actuality, I'm not. Probably artificial intelligence doing it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
you
have
too much feedback. And then, you know, to give everybody a chance to talk, because you and Solution were going back and forth for so long, I had to break it up so I could reach Shay's comments, let in Sister Ashita, and go ahead and let in Dynamite. So, and get a chance to speak myself. So I had to do it. But the feedback was ridiculous. Go ahead.
Okay, I understand that because, like I said, I'm sitting out here in my car, you know, dealing with this back pocket cell phone. I'm not on the laptop. You know what I mean? Okay, but Lady Chase dropping knowledge. Sister Akshita, she's always dropping some knowledge. And I'd like to have Sister Akshita come back on and drop knowledge on the power of the matriarch, okay, which is, I find to be very, very interesting. And looking at some of these comments.
Okay, tap it on that show, Sister Akshita. Jay Kruger building as well. Go ahead and let him in.
Yes. I'm sorry. I can't do it no more. I can't hear no more. Now, y'all keep talking about past Trump's race. How does that go when you have people who rich and educated and still gets mistreated because he's black? How about Brian Allen? He tried to purchase, what was that, NBC? Him
right.
And Bill Cosby tried to purchase NBC. They weren't allowed to do it because they were black.
Right.
So
yeah,
I'm still
yeah.
trying to figure out how this class, which is a misnomer to us because we're not victimized because we're our class. We're mistreated. We're destroyed. We're killed because we're black. It has nothing to do with our class. Like, it's very frustrating to have to hear this from the callers. Solution and Sister Ashita, like, that makes no sense. We live under a system of global racism, white supremacy. We don't live under a system of global classism. Race trumps all the isms. There is no ism that trumps race. Class does not trump race. Sexism does not trump race. None of those isms trump racism. So y'all keep talking about solutions. We need a solution. We need a solution. We need a solution. I don't hear none of y'all talking about getting rid of the system of racism and white supremacy, though. And like Dr. Kaba said, if you ain't talking about, you want to talk about a problem and you keep talking about solution and you ain't talking about racism and white supremacy, you ain't talking about no problem.
Okay. Well, you see, this is why we got to build up our own economical basis, is because would slap me in the face there too, Brother Chaz. You know, recently I had visited Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I went through the Black Wall Street. And speaking with those who are from there, and listening to the undertones of what they were saying was that there that was done due to peer racism, just like what Carolyn Bryant lied on with Emmett Till about. That was pure racism. Just like what the heavyweight champion.
All right. And burnt down to the ground in the 1920s, 1910s, 1900s, late 1800s. Like,
right.
Wilmington. That was all. And
yes.
Just
hold that, hold that, okay.
They don't want
to have to tell you, fading in and out.
Superiority doesn't exist without inferiority. So if you're not inferior to anything, nothing or no one can be superior to you. And it's
okay.
Our submission that gives them permission to put us in that situation. So like the brother
okay.
was saying, if you don't classify yourself as something of not being inferior, but of being of equal value and worth within your own right, then you're going to
uh-huh.
see yourself inferior to who you believe is superior to you. I don't see no man superior to me because I'm about to pay my bills, cook my food, or
that's
make
right.
sure I got clothes on my back and my children's back. So who's superior or more superior to me? If I get pulled over by the police, I guarantee you they're not going to just handcuff me and throw me to the ground because of my skin complexion. Because, number one, I don't even subscribe to the color black. So it doesn't matter if I handle them in a manner of respect. Yes, officer, what did I do or whatever? Give them the information that they're asking for or whatever. If they commit some crime against me and I don't speak on it and I allow them to do what they're doing and keep my life, then I can address the court in a proper manner
okay.
as I can in my human rights. But if I go and I'm addressing them as if they're automatically assuming that I'm black and acting in a manner that is created a threat to them in a position of authority based on the laws of in the traffic or whatever reason they pulled me over, then they're going to handle me in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, listen to this offer just one little bit. You don't necessarily have to talk to them or answer to them at any point anyway. I mean, they're not there to protect you as is. But the thing is that statement might be like a truth statement for you, but we've seen many, many thousands of incidents where sisters was getting pulverized by police for no damn reason except parking to go to the restroom, and they hadn't done nothing wrong. So, you know, you see what I'm saying? It is about race the other day, and when we talk about superiority, you can't have a race that's any more that is any more superior than the Asiatic man or the blackness of me. I'm a starseed. I believe in that. I don't think there's anything superior to me. You know what I mean? I see that it's black. It's black. I don't know the description of, you know, the titles or whatever, but I love me and my people. I want the best for me and my people, and my people are black, and they're in America. Yes, there are people, our black people are all over the diaspora, but here, myself, am concerned about the black people that are suffering the benign neglect and plight here. Shame to kill here.
Okay, so what are you doing to empower these so-called black people, your people that you love and care for so much? What actions are you taking to empower them so they know who they are and be empowered in who they are besides complaining about race?
No, since I'm complaining, you know, I actively fight racism and white supremacy. I'm extremely codified in that manner. What I do is I'm working on the policy side of things, creating policy for black Americans, what we like to call foundational black Americans. That's what I'm doing. That's what I want to do. I want to worry about our black youth.
What are you doing?
That's what I'm doing. That's what I use my platform for. That's what I do on city council every Monday. That's what I do out in the world. I'm outside. That's what I do. But not everybody's going to do like me. You know, everybody has their own niche. I sit on 3 boards in the city of where we live to actively stand up and support are Black Americans here. We live in Colorado. It's a very racist area. So I'm saying it from my perspective, sister, not to take away from your perspective. I'm just saying it from your perspective.
I don't want to take away from yours either, but if you're not accepted where you are, then you're free to move around. It's a free country, a free continent.
Okay.
And we can move throughout. We can move in and throughout the Americas as we choose. But
yes,
then, like the brother said, you need to serve this understanding of who you are based on what class you put yourself in.
Yes, ma'am. But like I said,
let me just say, this is a solution. This lady is making a fantastic point. I don't know if you guys have grasped all the points that she's making. But she is making very phenomenal and practical points, and it's this.
Yes.
When a policeman encounters you, they are supposed to win in the field. That's the way the system is designed, is that they win in the field. If you're acting a fool and trying to fight them, that's the wrong place. You need to fight them in court. That's
okay,
the proper
solution.
Place them, not out in the street. And
okay,
so the other point is the policemen work for a municipality. The policemen have a boss. And if you have the wherewithal, knowledge, and resources, you can get those policemen put in check real quick.
Oh,
now, I the lady
I
that's the host that's
solution. I got to throw
away. Let me just finish this.
I hear what you're saying. I guess I don't have a lot of time to express myself, but I do hear.
Let me just finish this point, and I'm speaking to you, ma'am. You're the one who's controlling the flow. What you tend to do, and I don't know if you're doing this, you blow your situation all out of proportion. Now, the policemen come into contact with millions of people, on the aggregate. And most of those situations go down without a hitch because the people that they are apprehending cooperate. And so that's very important in the equation also. Now, the police, they shouldn't.
They've been manhandling.
That's not a license to execute some.
I've been manhandling me since I was 7 years old. And I'm not nearly as melanated as my mate. So you can't tell me.
Yeah, but
that.
What I'm saying is a lot of those people which you aren't referencing behave badly. They are behaving badly and threatening to the police. And they shouldn't be doing that.
Hold on, Solution. I gotta correct you on something, Solution.
Just like in other places, I'm not closing my eyes and pretending I'm cognitively sleeping and not aware of what's happening. I live in a bad area where they kill.
And then, like the lady said, ma'am, you should move. You should have the resources to relocate.
I don't fear my people, sir. I'm a fucking being of the universe. I don't fear my people.
Ma'am, you just said it's a bad place. I don't give a damn who the people are.
I'm all right, sir. You see me struggling. I'm okay.
Yeah, but if they're bad people, you should not endure that suffering.
Sir.
That's the point.
Can I say something?
I guess we're misunderstanding each other. But we'll go ahead and say I agree to disagree, and you're right and I'm wrong. Carry on. Go
ahead. Hold on.
It's about being right or being wrong. It's about hearing and understanding and listening to another point outside of your own thought process.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and sometimes we can tell ourselves what we want to hear, and it's harder to hear what we don't want to hear coming from someone else. But you having the show, we're on the show, and we're participating, but I don't come on here to argue, and I don't come on here to necessarily hear arguments, but I've been coming on this show for five years now, Shabaka?
Yes, ma'am, 5 years. Yes, ma'am, Sister Akshita. You are a contributor to this platform. Yes, ma'am, you are correct. But what I wanted to say is that
so many people come through, and the conversation does not vary very far from where it began.
Okay. Let me say this right here, if I may. Okay, this here's two solutions. Now, Solution, there was an organization that started in 1966 in Oakland, California, okay? They went out and exercised their Second Amendment right, okay, and they were patrolling the police, and their main topic was point number 7, we want an immediate end to police brutality. And these individuals that went out, and a lot of them lost their lives, okay, defending the black community against police brutality. Now, keep in mind, the police are policy enforcers, and as Brother Che had said in the chat room, which he is so right about, is they are not under no obligation to protect you. The only elected law enforcement official that there is the sheriff, okay, it's because he is elected. Police are appointed. You see, that's the problem right there, and I really wish old Sarge was with us tonight. Because that there is right up his alley. Him and I go back and forth on that. So what did J. Edgar Hoover say? He says that the biggest threat to the national security of the United States was the organization of the so-called Negro. He didn't say them organizing to help the kids. He didn't say nothing about them organizing to help women and hungry folks. He just said the organization of Negroes, period, was a threat to the national security. That, sir, is a human rights violation. It's because you look at all these other motherfuckers out over here, man, in Ukraine and all that, and people want to go, oh, back to Ukrainians, back to Ukrainians. Them wasn't nothing but they a bunch of damn racists themselves. Just like when these fucking immigrants come here. Would they attack first? Black people.
Yeah.
Or those so-called black people, you know, to give Sister Akita her respect here, because she's been a contributor to this platform pretty much since day zero, like Brother Che has been, like Lady Che has been. And if we don't have any disagreements, all I ask is that we disagree agreeably.
I would just like to know what the morals are going besides side babbling. They always talk about law this, the law that. I don't see them have enforcing their sovereignty anywhere on this planet. I don't see them having a nation anywhere on this planet. So they always ask us what we're doing.
After Che, can we hear from Brother Dynamite, please?
Dynamite, you still with us?
Black Power.
Black Power.
New Black Panther Party on the case.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we got a lot of... We got so many injustices done to us, but I'll wait. Go finish up.
Shut up, brother. I really want to hear what Dynamite said, because, you know, we listen to everybody else, and Dynamite ain't spoke yet. Please, brother.
And Shabaka, I want to comment on that point you made when the gentleman finishes.
Yeah, go ahead, Dynamite. Then we're going to go to Solution. Then we're going to go to Sister Akshita. And then we're going to go to the Brother Che, then Lady Che, and I'll speak last, you know, because this is one of our best shows. And we got 23 minutes left, folks. Yeah.
Be very brief, very brief, Black Power, everybody. New Black Panther Party, Minister of Defense in the House, Black Lightning. You're a revolutionary voice of the people. I always say collective. Everything, you know, works out better, you know, if we all put our money in the till, sort of like, you know, like you know, send some one person down to the store to pick me up a pack of condos, there's some rental, a lot of commercial property that I've been seeing that's available out here left and right. And some of it has been in secluded areas where they might, well, have given up on the idea of even selling it. You can get a good deal on it, turn it into a shopping center, a black community. So I say put all our money together. You know, one $5,000 ain't going to get nothing but down payment on a brand new ride, you know. I almost said, you can buy it the other way too, you know. But I would say do it like that. And then say, the 10 of us, we're going to get together. We're going to get us a brand new bus instead. Because that's what we really need for the for the black revolutionaries to get what we got to get. There's just so many injustices happening to us, so I won't get into that because it'll really be here for a while, but the South is definitely rising again in the wrong direction. They're going south instead of going north, you know.
Yeah,
but as far as our solution, definitely black economics. Because I see some foreigners doing it. Matter of fact, I know some foreigners that are doing it. It's like seven. They got a seven-pack of guys. They'll get together, and they'll put a grand together each, boom, real quick, you know.
Right.
If they have to, they'll all put in 10 grand each, you know. And they buy up all the mansions and everything, you know, and rent them out and make them into what you call these Airbnbs and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they're getting paid. They're getting paid, and we renting the places out. We don't need to rent the places out. We need to get paid. So that's my solution, is collective solidarity. Collect this money together, just like if you was about to send somebody down to the corner store. Like I say, send the Yeah, well, a lot of people don't know this. See, with knowledge is power. I just end on this, but the builder, if you got a good builder and you got a good deal with the builder will get the loan, you know. So if you got a property and you say, okay, well, I can build me a section of condos. Some townhouses on this property, or I can build single family homes on this side and some townhouses on this side. But see, I can't do it by myself, so we got to do it together. And do like Martin Luther King said, I'm gonna end on this: fly, you know, fly, but keep moving. If you can't fly, then what? Run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But by all means, keep moving. I thought I'd throw that in there. Black power.
Always. And appreciate you there on that there, Brother Dynamite. Okay, let's turn it over there to Sister Akshita. She's always dropping gems. Okay, Sister Akshita. Okay, drop knowledge, ma'am.
Greetings, everyone. I just want to say thank you for allowing me to come on and be heard. I'm glad that the show was able to air tonight. It has been very intriguing and interesting. I came on with no intentions of speaking, but the conversation just got so good. I was like, I got to get in on this. So we've all spoken our piece and made statements and claims to how we feel and what we believe based on where we come from in association to where we are today. There's been, in my opinion, many changes over time, which has given us the ability to have this form of communication through media, which is our right to do so. And so in order to know that we have this right, we must understand what our rights are as far as human rights. And so I've actually been studying in human rights, and so this is where my mind is right now. We have come so far, yet we have so far yet still to go. So I just want to say thank you for allowing me to speak and be heard on this platform. And I support you 100% in moving forward. Thank you. And y'all have a good night. I'm still listening.
Okay, Sister Akshita, thank you so very, very much, ma'am. It's always a pleasure to have you on here. And I want to say this right here. And how much time we got left, Brother Che? Because I can't see the clock. Can you?
17 minutes.
Oh, okay. So in a couple of minutes, we are going to start our closing comments. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say, want to give thanks to the spirit of the one and only Mad Dr. D, who had inspired this platform and made it possible as well, too. Over the years here on Shabaka's Black Experiences, I've been called everything from MFs to black SOBs, this, that, day, the other. We've had dynamic speakers on here, but one thing that we try to do is that we try to disagree agreeably. Now, crumb bum time. Okay, Donald Duck belongs in jail. Period. Okay, he's got to go. That Kylie Irving or whatever what her name is, very dangerous. Gruesome Newsom out of California, he belongs in jail. Give him a dose of his own medicine, you know, because he's talking about everybody obeyed the COVID laws and all this, and he's out there in Napa Valley getting drunk for his wife's anniversary, birthday, or whatever. And as you all do know, that Gruesome Newsom is Nancy Pelosi's nephew, you know what I'm saying? Now, President Barack Obama, sir, you have been a very, very major disappointment. He is going to go to Kenya, to Nairobi, to President of Kenya, and the President of Kenya had stated, well, Mr. Obama, that you are a descendant of this land. Okay, it's a pleasure to have you. What does Obama get up there and talk about? He talks about an alphabetized agenda. We all know what that is, okay? And as I've stated before, that they got their human rights and they got their civil rights, but don't no damn man got a right to come up to me and tell me that the funky, nasty crack of his ass is a woman's womb. No, you're not going to piss on my head and tell me it's rain with that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And then, too, over the years, we've had controversy on this
Shabaka,
show.
Shabaka, say that again. It messed up.
Fade it out.
What,
okay,
so, what is the man not supposed to do?
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Solution. Say that again now.
What were you saying the man is not supposed to do? And I do want to comment on you talking about those armed guys. I want to comment on that. But you were just saying that you went through some gyrations about a nasty man is not supposed to do what to a woman?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, no man has a right to come up to me talking about the crack of his nasty ass is a woman's womb, okay, is because life is procreated between man and woman. Okay, now keep in mind, this individual has his civil rights, he has his human rights, okay, but there's no way in hell that some dog-faced Joe is going to come up to me talking about he's a woman. No, I'm not buying that because I don't see no estrogen nowhere. Now, this clown has his human rights and he has his civil rights. Okay, but over the years, you know, we do appreciate those, you know, who have been coming on this platform. Also, to rest in power to the one and only Mad Dr. D. And without Mad Dr. D, this platform would not have been possible. And Sister Akshita, you know, bless her spirit, is because I've heard Sister Akshita be disrespected on other platforms and what have you. And I've went there and crumb-bombed on fools, you know what I'm saying? You know, your Joe Wilsons, your Pianchis, what have you. But the guy that who is really missing, and once again, Brother Che, we're charging him with AWOL, the one and only Sarge. Now, we might not totally agree with Sarge, but Sarge is always keeping something going, you know, so we dig Sarge. Pianchi,
Sarge is outstanding. I'll give a testimony for Sarge.
Oh yeah. Pianchi, you're sick. You know, okay. I try to reason with you, Pianchi, and I'm telling you on my platform that you may kiss my asses because I reached out to you three times, and three times you disrespected me. So, Pianchi, you welcome to call in, too. But don't be surprised, man, if you get booted out the door, man, you know what I'm saying? Because I've reached out to you, man. You don't want to reach out to me? Great, fine, beautiful, because I ain't going to bend over backwards to get along with you. But what it is, people, is that planet Earth in this day and time is in some very, very serious trouble. Now, when white folk calling to our platform, Brother Chase, you know, like when we did the reparation situation, and this white woman's going to say, well, I don't believe in reparations. You know, you guys are never slaves. Ah, but your economy still benefited off of our labor. This is why tonight's episode is entitled Investments and Earnings. Is because the rape and slave trading pedophile invested in slaves that brought him a huge abundance of wealth that contributed greatly to the gross national product of the United States. I yield.
Well, you know what, Shabaka? Look, you just said a beautiful thing. I like the vast majority of what you just said, and I mean it. But look, one of the things that I do, and I'm usually paired up with a woman that is desirous of doing this, but I like to talk about certainly investments, how to invest, and I've already given you some gems about the
right
work, which most people will not do. They'll bitch
okay
and complain about not having resources, but they won't get up early in the morning and work
right
until late. I've worked three jobs, so I know what it's like.
Right.
One of the things is also how to negotiate. Negotiating is a phenomenal part of wealth accumulation. You've got to know with whom to negotiate, because negotiating with the wrong person will not get one what they want. You've got to know what to say to the person, and you've got to know the person with whom to say it. But to build
okay
that,
tell you what,
but
solution,
to build that initial money, you need to get
yeah
out there and work. But I want to address
okay
this, and I hope you do this continually.
Yeah,
read Dr. Claude Anderson's Power Numbers. He has an excellent book. Go ahead.
I'm sick of hearing that. Y'all always tell me we need to go out and work. We need to be working two or three jobs. We built this.
But I can't hear you. You're breaking up. I'm sorry. Get closer to the mic.
Is it a bad signal area solution? It's not as
okay,
well, can
yeah,
you
yeah,
translate what he's saying?
Yes.
Okay,
he's
I think it's Brother
Chase. Yeah. And, it, you
okay
know, the, putting in all these hours when as foundational black Americans, we built this country. So he's tired of hearing that. He wants to know when they're going to cut the check.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Let me
okay
say
that.
All right, I'm glad you mentioned
that,
damn it.
Let me
address that briefly
that
and hopefully conclusively. You guys, what you need to do is look at these people who win the lottery. If you put
okay
money in the hands of a person that's not accustomed to it,
oh,
it will destroy.
We're confident. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Wait,
oh,
wait a minute. Hold on. Let me finish
like,
the thought.
Omar Johnson. Oh, we're too mentally unfit to have the money. It don't negate the fact that full of debt that's sold, though.
So I can't understand what he's saying. Would you allow me to finish, and then I'll let
no,
what you're saying
you
be translated?
To finish. You cut off Eddie Chater's whole show, dude. No.
And he is the co-executive producer, and he has that power.
I didn't understand what the hell he said. What did he say?
Okay, let me
okay
put it in the chat. So, Shabaka, read it in the chat because he obviously can't understand what I'm saying.
Okay, read it in the chat, Brother Trey.
Yeah, you got to type it in a second.
Well,
let me just finish my point then. May I do that?
Okay.
Okay,
no,
what
okay
I'm saying is you can talk about writing a check, but you got to realize the people have to agree. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think it's necessary, but at the same time, I wouldn't stand in the way of that, okay? That's my position on it. But I will say this, you put money in the hands of an uninitiated person, and they're going to destroy themselves. It's just like putting drugs in the hand of a person, of a drug addict. Because
okay
all you need do, and we have palpable historical evidence
okay, okay, okay. What about those not know that? Because I keep hearing the same old bullshit from.
This is not bullshit, sir. You need to hear. You haven't heard what I'm saying. So have you looked at the people
yes
who won the lottery and seen how it destroyed their lives? Have you seen how the lottery winnings have destroyed people's lives?
White ring media at the same talking points. You're not saying nothing that is new.
Okay, well, why don't you solve the goddamn problem? Solve the problem.
Solve the problem. How about that?
How to do it, what you're doing is getting in your plane and saying, I know better. I know better how to become wealthy, then go ahead. I'll listen to you. I am wealthy, by the way. Are you?
Black power, man. Okay,
well, Solution, you put yourself on the spot. Hey, Solution, how about this? If you're so wealthy, Solution, why don't you drop, say, $10,000 on this platform so we can expand it? I'm sorry, you opened yourself up for that one, Solution. You dropped your right hand.
Let me answer that. I'll answer that for you.
Come on with it. Cut the check.
You do not throw private money after public issues.
Smart enough to deal with money.
Are
people just as smart enough to deal with money as white folks are? I mean,
okay,
that's like
well, show it. Why don't you prove
like
it?
We're too dumb to deal with money. Now, when I was broke and didn't have a dime, they loaned me $40,000. And I did very well with it as far as that was my – on my first house, and I'm on my third one now. So
okay.
I'm just saying, what everybody got done with money,
like
you know what I mean?
We're all financially illiterate.
Everybody's
not
stupid with money.
It's going to be like the Dave Chappelle shit. Oh,
that's like saying that we wouldn't do well if we're giving money, whereas on the other hand, we would buy up all the properties that's been in our neighborhoods, that's been overcharging on rent to our people so that we can't get businesses going in black neighborhoods. We would run them out of there economically, boycott them, and buy up the spots.
I'm just saying,
in all these rundown places where they haven't fixed them up in over 30 years, you know what I'm saying? We buy them places up and we fix them up as far as Dr. Umar got the school, FDMG Academy looking good. I went in the gymnasium. It looks good. Anyway, I just want to show that we know what to do with money.
Yeah.
Black power.
I want to add to that.
Well, you got to get it first.
Hold on, Solution.
Well, we know how to get it, too, you know.
Equity
gets money. You don't even have to have no money. All you got to do is have equity, you know what I mean?
Right.
Now, I got about $150,000 in equity if I was the cash out today.
Oh, dynamite. Can you loan me $5,000, man?
Well, that's just available assets to fall back on if need be. Ha!
Right.
See you, Dick. All I'm saying is we all got that capability, though. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got that capability. You know
I disagree with you. People who have learned that capability have it. Everybody doesn't have it.
Okay, now that's
one
solution.
That's why we got to teach as many people as we can.
You talking to the wrong person, people right now, Solution. We literally make something out of nothing. We know how to make
sure. Look here, sir. Let me just ask you this. You sound very unhappy and dissatisfied. Why is that?
You're damn skipping. Because this is bullshit.
Excuse me?
You're literally giving us the same white supremacist talking points that we hear from Fox News.
I'm saying you live in the richest country of the world. Get you some.
Why is it the richest country in the world, Solution? Why?
Slave labor.
Why? Why?
Hey, throughout history, if you're an honest person, everybody has done the same. All nations have taken from other nations. Every nation has done that.
I'm talking about right now. Why is the United States the richest country in the world? Right now, not throughout history, right now.
Well, go ahead. Explain it.
Because of the sweat and labor of our ancestors. That's why.
Right.
They still rolling off of it.
Look at it this way.
The
you know, an elephant has a lot of power, but if someone is controlling the elephant, then they own the power of the elephant or the produce of the elephant. And so if you believe that's true, if you believe what you say is true, then make it a reality, and then you won't have to complain about it.
First
we
of
like
all,
the
you
ants.
Be the last
we
one
like the
about
ants. You know, we
about
take
something.
An army of ants and a move of elephant. An army of ants to move an elephant.
Solution.
You know that?
Solution.
We like ants.
Where is your family from, Solution?
Well, look, I don't think this needs to be turned into an ad hominem attack.
No.
Okay, let's just deal with the issues for us, okay? Everybody in America is in immigrant.
Don't hang up, we're about to go into overtime. Don't hang up.
Everybody in America is an immigrant.
Okay. I muted everybody. I'm going to bring everybody back in. It's just letting them know that we are about to approach overtime. Okay, please do not hang up so we can complete this episode. Everybody's being muted back in.
That's a white lie. That's a white lie, Solution. We are not all immigrants. Y'all are immigrants.
Illegal
immigrants at that.
Oh, there you go. That's a personal attack.
Solution, where is your family from?
Hey, look, I'm not getting into that with you. It has nothing to do with why don't you just ask the question that you are intent on asking, and let's see if it makes sense.
I'm not going to talk about solution.
And let's just keep it on reparations.
And by the way, sir, I'm not upset at you at all.
I'm about to boost you
off. I'm not fighting with you. I don't even know you.
I don't care if you know me or not.
Right. I know. I think you don't care about a lot of things that you should care about.
Okay. I'm not gonna entertain it no more. Goodbye.
Is it on me yet?
Have a good one.
Is it on me yet? Look, Felicia, you've been mad disrespectful. Yeah, right. But let's just keep it like this. We want to talk about reparations. That's what me, Che, Shabaka, Dynamite are talking about. We're talking about reparations. Do you believe, even in your heart of hearts, that black people are owed reparations of damn
blood? He's not on the call no more, lady.
We built the country. Oh, I was just talking to myself. All right, well, Black Power, let's carry on then.
Yeah, all right. Okay, we're in overtime.
I'm on the same shit over here because I'm looking at it like, look, man, this is if this, it's not, look, how do I say it? Let me get my talking. I was got upset. It's the fact that people take our arguments. It feels like they take our arguments for granted, and like we're just making the shit up, and we don't have anything to stand on, or we don't have any reason to be upset or even point out the clear and evident, obvious atrocities happening on a day-to-day basis. If we had to factor in all the money that is owed to black Americans here, okay, whatever you want to call it, whatever, foundational black Americans, just for context, right, here, mm-hmm. in this area, if they would be paying for the remainder of for fucking millennia, because we had to factor in the harms that are begun today, too. Not just the past.
Well, he's so wealthy, but he would tell us how he got his wealth, right? He's so wealthy. He was so ashamed of where he's from, right? Because I kept asking him. I said, "Where are your parents from? Where are your parents from?" You want to sidestep and fucking deflect. Like the white supremacists are always up to this. No, where the hell are your family from?
Yeah, you're trying to tell us how to do what we need to do, but you're not listening to us.
Hey, I have a question. I would like for there to be a stair steps if you ever get reparations. But let me ask you this: how do you plan on convincing Congress to give you reparations?
Okay, the way you convince Congress on that there solution is one is campaign against all the no good bastards. Put bums like Uncle Tim Scott on blast. You see what I'm saying? And then also to the grassroots. You could grassroots wealth as well, too, but I won't see it in my lifetime due to my age. But you can grassroots wealth. Let's look at a guy by the name of John Harold Johnson and his wife, Eunice, when they got married in 1942. Mr. Johnson borrowed $500 against his mother's furniture, and he had started a business over a funeral parlor where him and his new bride had married. And the name of that empire became to be known as Johnson Publications and Ebony Magazine. But the daughter, Linda Johnson, writes, went and sold it to Time Magazine. And I don't think that was a wise move, is because Ebony Magazine did document the legacy of our people during the Civil Rights Movement and post-World War II as well, too, and the Black Empowerment era as well.
Yeah.
He's so silly. We got to go to Congress. Did the goddamn Jews have to go to Congress to get their rights?
Yeah, going to Congress is a waste of time.
What about the money?
You know about the reparations hearings that are going on now, right? Plus, they were granted reparations in Sacramento. Not Sacramento. Well, what part was it, Brother Shabaka? I know you were
California.
On when we were talking about.
In California. That there was an Oakland dynamite. That was in Oakland because they had the hearings in Sacramento and they had them in Oakland as well. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and they were also granted it in, I believe it was, I can't say.
Yeah, you're right, I got to pull it up. You're right. It just happened like last week. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Whoa. They granted the reparations?
Yes,
I was driving left of this raggedy-ass car of mine, man, across this damn desert to go get my damn check. When did they do that?
Yeah, no, I
and then once they do it in one spot, it's just gonna go to all the states, you know.
Okay, well, Dynamite, man. Hey, man, appreciate the info on that one. That's
no reparations, no vote, you know.
Where in Sacramento do I go get my check at? I go to the lottery commission. Do I go to that raggedy ass state house down there with Gruesome Newsom's at?
Wait a minute, hold on. Hold on.
Okay, is Dr. Bay on?
Who's Bay on?
Yeah, if Dr. Bay is on, yeah, she's a gem. Love me some Dr. Bay. She's heavy. Now, you with us, Dr. Bay?
Oh, she's on the blog talk right now.
We're in overtime. Please don't nobody hang up, because if you hang up, they ain't going to let you back in the studio. And this is one of our best episodes.
Black power. I'm black. We were talking about the reparations. They got it in one part of California, but I couldn't remember the name of it. So that's why I got...
I got
Sister Truth Bay on the line. She was down there at the hearing, so she could tell you better than me.
Okay,
if
Dr.
you don't
Bay.
Mind, I know it's the spur of the moment, Sister. This our national minister of justice, Sister Truth Bay. I caught her by surprise. I hope she don't mind. We just want to know. I was one part of California got the reparations, right?
No, there's no part of anywhere in America.
I thought they got it in something Springs just recently. We were talking about it.
Yeah, I just got looking up really.
They have reparations. Reparations. How you doing, Bobby?
Okay, come on. Let's let Dr. Bay talk. Okay, let's give Dr. Bay the floor for a minute. Go ahead, Dr. Bay.
Yes, sir. So greetings to all. The reparations that have been given out have been in forms of program grants or maybe some housing assistance, but the actual payment of $5 million in land is not acquired yet. So that's what we're hoping that by next year that'll be on the forefront. Right now they're forming, right now after the reparations hearing ended in June, the final report, you can check that out, 1,100 pages, that they are forming a Freedmen's Bureau agency. And so that's what happened. That's what we're still working with people.
When the Federal Reserve hijacked the Freedmen's money, Dr. Bay.
That's correct.
Okay, Dr. Bay, it's always a pleasure, ma'am, having you on here. And we apologize, Dr. Bay, because here at Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhancer, I cannot say it don't get off the hook, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, we thank everybody coming on, and this is my cousin,
Thomas,
brother. I
ain't
want to
misquote it. I know she could just set it straight. Thank you for doing just that.
I didn't know if I was live on air. I thought it was just a private convo, but hopefully the information will be helpful to others.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask a question real fast before you leave? So they have made an update on the task force, the one that they were holding in California all over, because I haven't seen anything recent except for the amend the mass media stuff. I think it was like last month.
Brother Omoya actually has been very diligent. He's been covering reparations since the beginning with Chris they're the ones that the lead charge for reparations. But the meeting, the actual reparations hearing, AB 3121, ended in June. Mm-hmm. And so the actual full report of that is on the OAG website, the Attorney General website. Mm-hmm. What the issue is that the masses, the descendants of slaves, those black families who qualify, who are actual qualifiers for reparations, are not doing their diligence and even tracing their lineage, which is why we have to have a massive outreach nationally for families to start tracing their genealogy for those who do not have concrete evidence of their lineage. Because when reparations does come down, and it will, you're going to have, I'm tell you now, the politicians that's in place right now, they're not here to give reparations because Joe Biden from the top already said that he doesn't favor reparations. That's why he'd rather have committees and more studies and more evidence-based. All this is jargon. All this is distraction.
Right.
Because everyone in the world knows that we are the only ones that have not received payments, restitution, or a bill to even protect our black lives. So if we don't get on the political train, that's where we fall short. But overall, there is a group of us nationwide that is working towards making that happen. And we're going to definitely do our part to demand reparations as a whole.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Dr. Bay. Ma'am, you are more than welcome, to host a show on this platform, Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced, dealing with that. Also, two solutions. I'm going to meet you halfway. Is that you are welcome to host a show on this right here, man, about wealth. And Sister Akshita, you always have an open invitation to host a show. So does Lady Chase. So does Brother Chet, he already knows that because he's the co-executive producer here. You know what I'm saying? And I'm loving this. And then keep in mind, people, as we all know and as you know, Dynamite, we get off the hook here, Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced sometime is because a lot of times our people need to blow off some steam because these stress will kill you. And then with these murdering-ass cops going out here, and each time I get behind the wheel of my vehicle and I see one of these racist soldiers get behind me, I don't know if I'm getting ready to get killed or not. But, we've been doing it going on in our seventh season right now, and we always appreciate all our callers and contributors to this platform, and also too, we do welcome our scrub ass critics as well too, and the most craziest ass coon of all time, he's welcome to come back here, the one and only Pianchi, although more than likely he'll get ran up out of here like he always does for saying asinine shit that he does, and excuse my language, ladies, you know what I'm saying, but we just keeping it real right here. And the reason why I keep this platform going on, because since I'm in my twilight years, I cannot go before the ancestors holding my head held high if I did not do my job properly and didn't let everybody know. I did go to the doctor today. They gave me some extensive tests, so I'm waiting on the results of that, you know what I mean? And hopefully everything is all right. But in the event that it isn't, just pray to the ancestors that I have a smooth transition. And then also to Donald Duck Trump, you are an embarrassment, man, period, to the whole planet Earth. You are an embarrassment. Now, your transvestite partner, the governor of Florida, and I call him the panties, is because I say he wears women underwear. He is sick, and he belongs in an insane asylum. Mm-hmm. Uncle Tim Scott, you can't help it. You're brain dead, brother, and the only thing I could do, man, is pray for you. And, Pianki, if you're out there listening, you says nobody listens to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced Trick. We had a whole lot of listeners tonight. Fool, you know what I'm saying? And I don't have no respect for you no more, Pianki. I'm letting that be known. I'm putting that out there on public airwaves. Joe Gibson, I know he's a partner of yours. Go tell him everything I said. In fact, send him the code to this episode so he can listen to it. Sarge, we are charging you with absence without leave again and dereliction of duty, because, Sarge, you always keep it going on. And those are my closing comments, and I'll turn it over to our co-executive producer, Brother Chan Krumah, to coordinate everybody else's closing comments.
He's not on. You got me, though. He's not on, but I'll
all right. Okay, Lady Chay.
Dynamite, thank you, Sister Bay. Thank you so much, Dr. Bay. Please do come back on.
Sure, thank you.
Dynamite.
Thank you.
So good to see, talk to you again, Sister. But Dynamite, don't you got a program? Don't you got a blog talk or something?
Yes, ma'am. We have blog talk every Sunday, Black Power Radio. Sundays and Mondays at 8 p.m. And that number is 515-605-9889. Let me say it one more time. It's 515-605-9889. And we have our brother Shabaka knocking it out with us on there too. So y'all call in over there too.
With that, I was trying to call, I was trying to find out what he's doing, because I was trying to get on there since I listen, I catch a show once in a while, because I always miss it. I keep missing it. I intentionally try to catch it, right? Because y'all had a
8 p.m. Eastern. That's
yeah.
Eastern time. So Eastern time. What time would that be? What time are you in?
I'm in the mountain time. I'm in Colorado.
Yeah, so you're an hour ahead of me. You're 2 hours behind them, Lady Che.
So what time would that be?
Okay, that there would be, okay, it would be 4 o'clock your time. Wait a minute.
Okay, 8 cool.
8 p.m. in the east.
No, it'll be 6
p.m. 6 p.m. in the mountain time.
6 p.m. in the mountain time. That's great. I'm coming on.
6 p.m. in the mountain.
Y'all had this one moment where y'all were doing the Coon Awards, and I had like 3 nominations for Coon Stress of the Year. But I couldn't call in. I'm
gonna try to call in. You have an opportunity end of the year Coon Awards to submit your nomination. So be in tune for that. I'm glad.
Oh yes, ma'am.
Yes,
ma'am.
That was a fire show. That was the best show ever. But I thought
yes, ma'am.
Y'all have good shows. But I was like, man, I was laughing. I was like trying to call in. Phone weren't working. It was horrible. It's horrible on my end, but it was an enjoyable experience other than that. So I thank y'all. I thank y'all so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you. Definitely. Thank y'all, and thanks, Shabaka, for being the National Minister of Education, or some
say
education, for Black Power Radio.
Yes, sir.
Let Solution know when it's his turn.
Solution. Come on, Solution.
Yeah, I want to, first of all, I accept your invitation. I'd normally like to be paired with a young lady, but my position is resource acquisition and resource maintenance. Those are my two areas. But, Shabaka, I want to speak directly to you because you just spoke about the police and being stopped. I want to give you some information that will greatly reduce any opportunity of a police bothering you. And that is,
okay,
number one, you need to drive within the speed limit. Also, I would say the policemen need donations. If you make a donation to the police and get one of those stickers and put it on your bumper, they will not stop. Chances of them stopping you are almost zero. And the other thing, and Sarge can verify this. Wait a minute, man. 50% of the people that the police pull over, their tags are expired. Make sure that your tags are not expired, and they will not have a reason to pull you over. So your tags are not expired.
I've done that solution in Nevada. They believe in getting in your pocket hard on some tags. No, I'm sorry. Strike that. California believes in getting in your pocket real hard. But in Nevada, man, you know, they're very, very reasonable, man, on a registration. You know?
Well,
and
what I'm saying to you, and I know you picked up on this, hopefully, is that over 50% of the stops that police make are people with expired tags. So right there, one eliminates a tremendous opportunity to not be stopped. Just keep your tags up to date. And number two is, like I said, make a small donation to the police commission or whatever. your local police, and they will give you a sticker that you can put on your bumper or in the right-hand corner of your window, your windshield, your back windshield. And they're more likely to let you off with a warning unless you're going 100 miles over the speed limit. But you will almost reduce your stops zero.
Solution. I can see your reasoning to a point, but if you're a black man in America and you got some shit up on your car,
Shabaka,
support the police, you're liable to get shot at. Man.
I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Shabaka, listen to me. Don't make that your strong
point. You'll be stopped in the hood. Yeah, you might
make that your strong point.
Solution, I see your reason. It's sound reasoning, Solution, but I wouldn't recommend you do that, man, on the west and south side of Chicago. I don't recommend you do it in Compton, and I damn sure don't recommend it, man, that you do it in West Oakland.
But Shabaka, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Look. Nobody lives in, are you talking about depressed areas like the ghetto? Is that what you are responding to?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, get the hell out of there, Shabaka. Dangerous fucking place. Don't live in the ghetto.
Well, there's a song, Solution, there's a song. This is before your time. There's a song by a guy by the name of James Brown that they play every Christmas time that says, Santa Claus, please come to the ghetto. And I
Shabaka, this is my closing word, and I hope you hear me. I hope you don't get in the Victims Olympics or trauma bonding. Get your money up and get the F out of the ghetto. It's a dangerous place.
Well, we'll get no argument from me on that there, Solution. But what about our people who are trapped there, Solution? Now you got
They'll come out as necessity depicts. As they change their ways and change their thinking, you know, they say as one changes their thinking, things around them change. You're not going to change the ghetto. The ghetto is what it is. And you've got to change your location. Get the hell out, Shabaka. That's my message to you. Get the out.
Okay, Solution. All right, but
the
what about our people who are trapped
there?
But what about our people who are trapped there, Solution?
Shabaka, I really enjoy your question. Let me give you an answer to that. On a plane, when the cabin depressurizes, what do they say? Put your own damn mask on first. Because if you don't, you're going to pass out. So you won't even be in a condition to help anyone else. Stop trying to save everybody before you save your own ass.
Okay, I see your reasoning there to a point. Okay, now, with that there, with my counterpunch on that is, okay.
Wait a minute.
There is no
counterpunch on that, Shabaka. If you're on the plane and it loses cabin pressure and your oxygen mask drops down, you have a few seconds to put that mask on. That's it.
Okay, now hold on. Now, solution.
Oh, jeez.
No, not too many. It's not about people asking for a hand out. It's about asking for a hand up, which is a
okay, get the hell
difference.
Out and then help them reach back and help them once you get out. If you're in quicksand, it's going to be kind of hard for you to help someone else get out, right?
Right.
So you get out first.
Okay. All right.
Shabaka, you're a smart guy. Come on.
Well, solution. Okay, we'll get with you, man. You know, when you can host a show on the finance, Brother Dynamite, you know, you're always welcome. And
do this. Even the lady that's controlling traffic here, I'll do a show. What's your name, ma'am? I didn't get your name.
That's Lady Che.
Lady Che, she and I can do a resource acquisition / retention show, and it should be great.
Let's make it happen, Captain.
All right, I'll call back next weekend, and you give me a time, and then we'll do it. But now, let me just say this, Shabaka.
Yes.
This is a perishable skill. You have to do this all the time. It's not just hit it and quit it.
Right. You have to make it a retinue, a way of life. The same way.
All right. Go on. Continue. I'll just listen until the close of the show. But good show. It's been a good, civilized show, and I've appreciated it. And I hope the guy who gets upset with me will be forgiving. I know he may be upset with me, but hopefully he'll find it in his heart.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's our co-executive producer. That's Brother Che. You know
what
I'm saying?
I mean him no harm. Please relay that message to him.
Yes, sir. And then also, too, let it be known is that, as you know, Lady Che, about when we do Grand Rising with Shabaka and the Che, that there happens at 8 a.m. Pacific time on Friday. That happens 11 a.m. In Eastern time zone, 10 a.m. in the Central time zone, and at 9 a.m. in the Mountain time zone. So most definitely note those times because we're back, you know, because they shadow banned us and what have you. We got haters and stuff like that. And keeping them in, reaching out to our haters. Hey, we love your ignorance. We love your hatred. We really do. You know why? Because we take your negative energy and we change the polarity on it into positive energy. So, haters, keep those cards and letters coming. We love your ignorance.
Can I say something real quick, Shabaka?
Yeah, I'm done. Okay, close out the show, Lady Che. Right. I'm done.
Listen, Solution, check it out. It's like this, like, I rarely get to host anything over here. I only get to do it when Brother Shabaka and Brother Che are unavailable at that moment. Somebody got to hold down the fort. And so when I'm here, you know, I obviously got to, you know, try to, you know, participate and still offer a little perspective. I know it's a man's world, evidently. Today y'all were making it a very, very clear. But stop disrespecting me. I was just trying to be cordial. You know what I mean? Are you there, sir? Okay, I think you got everybody hung up.
Okay, I think everybody hung up, Lady Che.
Yep.
Okay, so what we're going to do, Lady Che, okay, because I'm looking here at what we got for our out track tonight. And let's see here. I think we're going to go out with Milestones by the one and only Mr. Miles Davis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate your comments. We appreciate your participation. It does get controversial here. I do ask, if we're going to disagree, please let us disagree agreeably. And for all our haters out there, we really do love your hate mail, and we really do enjoy laughing at your ignorance. Ladies
and thank
and gentlemen,
you everybody who showed up tonight. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, sisters. Absolutely.
Thank you for
and
coming
And here's
on.
That classic by the one and only Mr. Miles Davis, Milestones.